This is Think Out Loud on OPB and on KLCC. I'm Dave Miller. As Mike Rogoway wrote in the Oregonian this weekend, these are unusual times for Oregon's economy. Unemployment is way down. The housing market is way up. Wages are rising as well. But still, the state is facing a $1.6 billion budget shortfall. Some people blame voter-passed measures to limit property taxes or voter-passed mandates to spend more on education without identifying new revenue. Eric Fruits has other targets. The Economist was one of the authors of a recent report for the conservative Cascade Policy Institute. He outlined a series of cuts to PERS, to the Department of Human Services, to the Medicaid expansion that Oregon has taken part in as a way to balance Oregon's budget without raising taxes. Eric, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You lay out some pretty big cuts in this report, but let's start with the big one, rolling back or opting out of the Medicaid expansion for the Oregon Health Plan. How much would that save in terms of Oregon's budget right now?
Well, according to the OHA's budget director, the Oregon Health Authority's budget director, that would be about $360 million just from the general fund alone. There's other funds too, but we tend to focus mostly on the general fund. So $360 million.
Why do you think that makes good economic sense to remove Oregonians' health care coverage?
Well, that's assuming that they're losing health care coverage. First of all, we knew going into the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, that that we were going to be on the hook for a big chunk of the bill. And it's a small sliver, but it's a big dollar amount.
That over time, instead of paying 100% of the cost of this expansion, the federal government would pay 90% of the expansion.
It tapers down to 90%. It's something between 90 and 100 right now. It's less than 100, but more than 90. That's a huge amount. We knew that going in as a state. The legislature knew that. The governor knew that. But we never planned for it. I think we were always hoping that some sort of money would magically appear from the feds to fill that hole. That money didn't come. And now we've got some sticker shock with that. It's fairly expensive. I think it's a bit false to say that all these people are going to lose their health care coverage. Jonathan Gruber, one of the architects of the ACA, wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine this past October and found that roughly 45% of the people who got coverage under the expanded Medicaid actually already qualified for Medicaid pre-ACA. So those people could still be covered under Medicaid. And now they know they can.
Right. That's one of the things that people have said in Oregon as well. I don't know that we know the exact numbers, but there was such a good job. The state did such a good job of publicizing the fact of expanded OHP coverage that a lot of people who actually would have qualified before signed up because they had never really thought about it before.
So they were aggressive in signing people up. As a matter of fact, they tried to put my kids on it. And then they said, oh, no, actually, you know, they said, oh, now you qualify. Oh, now you don't. Now you qualify. Now you don't. So there was a lot of that.
Nevertheless, some people really, you know, some significant proportion wouldn't have coverage before. They couldn't. And they wouldn't again if we opted out. How is getting rid of their coverage good in terms of economic sense?
Well, first of all, we can't afford it. You know, you mentioned the economy is recovering, and it is, and we're doing a fairly good job of recovering. But still, our personal income per capita is about 9%, 9.5% lower than the national average in the state. We're not a rich state. Even in Portland, the Portland area, which seems to be doing really well, we still have incomes that are about 3% lower than the national average. We also have a cost of living that's about 10 to 15% higher than the national average. We don't have a whole lot of money. We spend a lot of money on other things that we need just to survive. So we don't have a lot of money for extra things, brand new programs, expanded programs, where the resources simply aren't there to fund them.
Wouldn't we end up paying somehow through public coffers some significant percentage of the healthcare costs of people who were removed from Medicaid rolls?
Well, if you did remember, before we had the Medicaid expansion, a lot of people were covered through the charity care, through the hospital system. And what we've seen now, at least one hospital system, I think even OPB was the one who reported it, has seen about a 60% decline in their charity care. Remember, one main reason why these are nonprofits is because they provide charity care. When that goes away, what's happened is the coverage hasn't changed in terms of the care that they're getting. What's happened is who's paying for it. Before, the hospitals paid for it out of their charity care business, and now it's the taxpayers who are paying for it through Medicaid. One of the things that we saw with the Medicaid expansion, one of the arguments was that we would see a reduction in emergency services. We're not. people are still going to the emergency room because people on Medicaid can't find primary care doctors. So they still have to go to the emergency room. Now, instead of the hospital systems picking up the cost through charity care, it's the taxpayers picking it up through Medicaid coverage.
Opting out of Medicaid expansion in Oregon seems like an absolute no-go for Democrats, whether at the legislative level or for Governor Kate Brown. I mean, they've all said this is a part of Democratic orthodoxy, that this has been a good overall for the state. Do you think you could even get Republicans in Salem to sign on to this idea?
I think it would be a challenge. I was working on some budgeting issues with Dr. Bud Pierce when he was running for governor. And I brought this up and he said no. You know, flat out, he did not want to eliminate the Medicaid expansion. There are some Republicans. There's a lot of Republican governors in other states who are still in favor of keeping that Medicaid expansion. Part of my argument, though, was, you know, with the new administration coming in and in Congress, you know, we're going to see big changes to Medicaid. This Medicaid expansion that we currently have isn't going to last forever. So why not cut our losses now? That's $360 million from the general fund. Governor Kate Brown said it's about three-fifths of the deficit that she identified. So it's a big program. It's a big expensive program. It's a big factor driving what we call this budget shortfall.
Let's turn briefly to the public employees retirement system. Twice now, the Oregon Supreme Court has said no to either all of the changes the legislature tried to put forward or some of the really big changes, saying that you can't take back benefits that you've already told people that they were absolutely going to have. What is a new reduction you're pushing for that you say will survive legal challenge?
Well, this was it's not my idea. This was there was a bipartisan PERS Reform Committee. The bipartisan meaning there were two people on it. One was Democrat and one was Republican, Betsy Johnson and I think it was Tim Knope. I might be wrong about that. But their idea, one of the things they looked at was, is there a way that we could cap that final salary that's used to calculate what you get for the retirement benefits? And their idea was cap it at $100,000 a year of income. The issue was things, people like Mike Bellotti is kind of the key example of this, who quote unquote retired with about $480,000 a year in retirement benefits and then took a job at ESPN for $1 million a year. This idea was, let's just cap the amount that your retirement's based on, cap that at $100,000. That would still give a lot of people some very generous retirement benefits. The PERS actuary said that would save about $135 million in this upcoming biennium alone. That sounds like a really big number, but it's the only number we have, and it came from PERS itself through their actuary.
The point of the report that you helped author for the Cascade Policy Institute was to come up with ways to spend less so that the state wouldn't have to raise revenue. Is there any kind of revenue raise, or I can just say any kind of tax increase that you would support?
Well, I think the issue is, where's the budget deficit coming from? And it's not because we're not bringing in enough money. It's because our spending has gone out of control. If you look at the state of Oregon, you know, we have record revenues that the state is bringing in right now. We have, since the recession, Oregon has been probably like the third best state in terms of recovery of revenues to the state. You know, we're bringing in a lot of money, but our spending is way outpacing it. The best way to actually generate more tax revenues is to really get this economy going. We need to get more people working full time. And when you do that, you're going to bring in a lot more income tax revenues through the personal income tax. That's the tax increase that we want. We want that tax increase to come from people making more money, being more successful, bringing us up to the national average or higher in terms of per capita personal income, instead of trying to extract more and more from a smaller base.
Do you get the sense that any of these ideas are being listened to in Salem right now?
I know they're being listened to because I've heard my name taken in vain, I don't know to what extent.
Let me put it another way. Do you think that there's political capital behind these ideas?
I think on the PERS reform, there was some action on that. I don't know where that's going now. It seems that the legislature has been more distracted with kind of shiny objects rather than actually trying to solve the budget deficit. You know, I think that should have been the priority. You know, you haven't heard anything right now in the legislature about, for example, K-12 funding. All we hear now is that there's probably going to be some big cuts to K-12 funding, but we don't know what those are. You know, again, we have record revenues. I don't know why we need to cut K-12 funding right now.
Eric, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
That's Eric Fruits, former chair of the Multnomah County Republican Party, a Portland-based economic consultant. Coming up after a break, we're going to sit down with the parents of a first grader who was killed at the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012.